Thank you very much indeed. David Ogilvy was the founder of Ogilvy and Mather, so the advertising agency, and he begins his autobiography, Confessions of an Advertising Man, with these words. He says, "As a child, I lived in Lewis Carroll's house in Guildford. My father, whom I adored, was a Gaelic-speaking Highlander, a classical scholar, and a bigoted agnostic. One day he discovered that I'd started going to church secretly. 'My dear old son, how can you swallow that mumbo jumbo? It's all very well for servants, but not for educated people. You don't have to be a Christian to behave like a gentleman.'" Now, behaviour is important, but at the very heart of the Christian message is belief. And that belief is not some sort of mumbo jumbo, but it's a firm conviction about two historical events which Christians celebrate, especially at Easter: the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And Jesus' death has been the focus of the excerpts that have just been sung to us, and his resurrection will be the focus in a moment. But firstly, the death of Christ. Why should we be bothered about the death of someone 2,000 years ago? Well, the opening line that we heard sung today tells us the words of John the Baptist about Jesus: "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." Jesus is the Lamb of God who, by dying, deals with the sin of the world. David Ogilvy spent his life advertising products, and you know, the art of advertising is to persuade you to buy products which at the moment you may not feel you actually need. And in some ways, my job as a minister is a bit like that of an advertiser. So it's to try to sell people a product, or rather a person, Jesus. And the challenge is persuading people that they actually need him. You see, Jesus is the God-given solution to a problem, the problem of sin. And if I'm not concerned about the problem, I'm not going to be very interested in the solution. Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. What would you say is wrong with the world? The Bible says there is something fundamentally wrong with us as people. That God made us to live in his world with him as God, to love him, to love one another. But we reject God and we don't want him to rule over us. So we think, you know, no one's got the right to tell me how to live my life. It's my life, I'm going to do as I see fit. And that is what the Bible calls sin. It's rejecting God's rule. And we all do it. The prophet Isaiah said, "We all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way." And this going our own way, it leaves us alienated from God, now and in eternity, under God's judgment. So how can we get right with God again? You know, how can this sin problem be dealt with? Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Jesus is God's solution to this universal problem. Why is he described as a lamb? Well, animals are often used in the Bible symbolically. So we are like sheep who wander off and go our own way. God's enemy, the devil, is described as being like a roaring lion seeking to devour people. And Jesus is the Lamb of God. In the Old Testament, a lamb was an animal used in sacrifice. So although the people deserved to die for their sin, God accepted the death of a lamb in their place. The lamb was a substitute. Well, Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So when he died on the cross, he was dying in our place, and he was taking on himself our sin and paying for it. Last week, the film director James Cameron, he went down, didn't he, in his little special submarine into the Mariana Trench, into the deepest part of the ocean. Well, on the cross, Jesus went down into the deepest, darkest place spiritually as he took on himself our sin and he paid for it. As the Isaiah verse says there that was just sung, he was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Mocked by his enemies, as the psalm quotation says, he trusted in God that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him if he delights in him. The other day, my wife got a parking fine. She'd left the car on a yellow line at school pickup, got a bit delayed, arrived back to find the traffic warden putting this ticket on her windscreen. And she explained that she'd been delayed because our oldest son has special needs and he wouldn't come and so on. And the traffic warden could see a predicament and he was sorry. But in the end he said, look, I wish I could do something, but I can't. You know, once the ticket's been written, I can't undo that. Well, what he could have done was to pay the 60 quid fine himself. I mean, that would have been nice. God is holy and just. He can't ignore sin. He can't just rip up the ticket. You know, if justice is not done, then God has no moral right to rule the universe. But in the death of Jesus, the Son of God, God has taken out his own wallet and he's paid the penalty for us at enormous cost to himself so that we don't have to. And so because of Jesus' death in our place, the Lamb of God, God now offers us forgiveness for all our wrong and restored relationship with him. But, you know, the choice is ours. Either we allow Jesus as the Lamb of God to pay for our sin, or we pay for it ourselves, separated from God now and in eternity. On YouTube, I don't know if you've heard it, there's a recording of a man ringing Asda customer services with a complaint. And he says that he's just bought a pizza in Merthyr Tydfil, and he's now got home and he's opened it, only to find that there's absolutely nothing on it. He says there's no topping on it at all, not even tomato sauce, it's just bread. Then a few minutes into the conversation, he suddenly realises that he's opened the pizza package upside down. Now, some people think that the Bible is saying that if you live a good life, you will get to God and God will accept you. And that is getting things upside down. That the truth is that in Jesus, God has come down to us. He's taken on himself the sin of the world as the Lamb of God, that we might have forgiveness and restored relationship with him. But this death of Jesus was not the end. 3 days later, the Bible tells us God raised Jesus to life. Jesus has returned to heaven. And this resurrection of Christ is the theme of the excerpts we're about to hear sung. And in the final verses that will be sung from Revelation, we find that Jesus, the Lamb of God, is now worshipped in heaven for what he has done. It says in that final bit, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain, has redeemed us to God by his blood, to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honour and glory and blessing. Blessing and honour and glory and power be unto him that sits upon the throne and to the Lamb for ever and ever. Amen." Saying that Jesus is alive and he reigns with God the Father. So followers of Lenin, you know, they go to Red Square to see his embalmed body on public display, as it has been since 1924. Followers of Muhammad go on pilgrimage to the Mosque of the Prophet in Medina, with its green dome where the Prophet is buried. Followers of martial arts expert Bruce Lee, you know, they go on pilgrimage to visit his grave in Seattle's Lakeview Cemetery, where the remains of his super fit body lie interred. But followers of Jesus Christ have no body in a grave to go and visit. I'm sure those who look after the Garden Tomb in Jerusalem would be delighted to see you, but all you'll find is an empty grave. There's no body. 3 days after Jesus was dead and buried, the tomb was found empty. And the risen Jesus appeared over a 40-day period to lots of different people. And his followers, who had given up hope when he died, they were transformed overnight. They took the world by storm, proclaiming that Jesus had conquered death. And from that point on, the early church began and it spread like wildfire in spite of persecution. And there is no other explanation which fits the facts other than the one they give, that they had seen the risen Jesus. And his resurrection proved that he is the Son of God, that his death really has dealt with our sin, and that there is life beyond the grave. Even in the Old Testament, we find that Job, in that the next bit's going to be sung, Job had this conviction that death was not the end. So he says there, "I know that my Redeemer lives, that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God." But this conviction becomes rock-solid certainty with the resurrection of Jesus. So as we'll hear in the second bit, it says, since by man came death, i.e. through Adam, by man, that is through Jesus, came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Don't know how often you go to the gym. I know that some people who work in the wharf go every day, even an hour a day. It's a phenomenon that especially kicks in when, like me, you get to middle age. You know, once we get over 40, we start to feel that sense of urgency to try and roll back the years. There's nothing wrong with keeping fit, but we're fighting a losing battle. I mean, Bruce Lee, the martial arts expert, he had the reputation of being the fittest man alive. You know, he could do over 60 one-arm pull-ups. Then at the age of 32, fell into a coma in his Hong Kong apartment and he died very suddenly. One day these bodies of ours will pack in. And what then? Is death the end? The resurrection of Jesus Christ says no. One day, when Christ returns, we shall all be raised. And that is why Easter is such a wonderful, joyful time of celebration for Christians, that we have eternal hope because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So one of the earliest statements of Christian belief in the church is called the Apostles' Creed, and this is how it ends. I believe in the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Christians don't just have some vague hope that life will sort of continue in some spiritual form after death. We believe in the resurrection of the body and the life of the world to come. But here's the sobering bit. It's not just followers of Jesus who will be raised. The Bible warns that a day of judgment lies ahead. We will all be raised to appear before our Creator and Judge. For those who trust in Jesus, the Lamb of God, there's nothing to fear. So their sin is paid for by Him, they're forgiven, and eternal life with God is theirs. But for those who don't trust in Jesus, there is everything to fear. Appearing before God unforgiven, being condemned by God to the separation from Him which they have chosen. So Easter is a wonderful time for celebrating the death and the resurrection of Jesus. It's also a great time for turning to Him and putting our trust in Him, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world and who rescues us from the judgment to come. We're now going to hear the second part from the choir. Thank you.